Hey everyone, welcome to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Carlisle, and I can't wait to dive in to a world where the sacred meets the wild and keeps things totally real. In each episode, we are going to dive into what it truly means to live a radiant life that is unapologetically real. And if you're ready to get started, so am I. Hello, luminous warriors. Thank you so much for listening to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. My name is Natalie Carlisle, and I am so glad that you're joining me today. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about another archetype, and this archetype is the jaguar. And in Peru, the jaguar is one of the most powerful and traditional archetypes. It's one of the largest animals that is in the jungle. It is a top predator. It doesn't have any natural enemies other than mankind that infringe upon their environment and things like this. So the jaguar has been revered in many, many cultures, not just in Peru, but all over the world for its amazing qualities. So I don't know if you knew this, but jaguars can swim. Isn't that great? Like they can go fishing. They can hunt anything. Other beautiful facts about jaguars is that they can come in all black. They can come with spots. They've been seen albino. Like they have this wonderful variety of how they can appear in the world. And jaguars have this mystique about them that has, you know, enchanted poets and musicians and artists for years. They are an archetype of the wild, and an archetype of the free, an archetype of the mysterious. And so what I'd like to explore in this episode with you is how we can harness the spirit of Arango, the spirit of the jaguar, to open up to love. You know, love is one of the things that as human beings, we crave, we need to live. There are so many studies that show that in terms of longevity, one of the factors for people that live longer than others is not, you know, in this study that I'm thinking of, my friend, Dr. Rebecca Akabchuk showed this to me and I was floored. But in this study, what they found is that the number one factor in long life and healthy life is connection to humans. This idea of loneliness can inhibit our longevity drastically. It was higher on the list. Loneliness was higher on the list than cigarette smoking. I was like, what? Because both of my parents suffered, you know, an early loss. They died early because smoking was all the rage. And even though, you know, they had quit later in life, the damage was already kind of done or already kind of started in the system. And so this idea that loneliness is such a deep factor in whether we live long, healthy lives, even more so than some of these other health choices that we can become so obsessed about. You know, we got to eat kale, we got to be vegan, we got to be all these things. But really, it's loneliness. And so to combat this idea, the archetype of the jaguar is our true friend in one of the spiritual elements that we can call forth in ourselves that will help us live a richer and fuller life, because we can open up to love. So I want to share one, you know, I have a cat. I don't know if you have a cat. My cat's name is Oliver. I have, my pet's names are Oliver and Miles Davis. So they have these dorky names that are so not pet names, but I love it. So Oliver is the 7-year-old cat and he's got stripes and he likes to be outside as well as inside. And so the other day he had come in from outside and I guess he's feeling his wild oats because it's just about, you know, to turn spring here in Delaware. The weather is sort of warm sometimes. The daffodils are blooming. So you can feel the energy is kind of rising in the planet, getting ready for this rebirth. Like it's pregnant with all this energy here. We're waiting for the weather to break warm again. So Oliver comes in from his nighttime escapades, whatever he does out there. And my dog Milo, Milo is sitting there with his big fluffy white tail, and he's just laying there, and Milo lazily gets up and they butt heads like, hey, what's up? And then Milo goes in and gets a drink of water, and Oliver comes into the living room and lays down where I'm sitting, and like at my feet on the floor. And he's kind of tucked behind my legs. I didn't think anything of it at the time, but he's just where he is. He was just tucked between my legs and the couch. And so he was right hiding behind my legs. And Milo walks in, not paying attention to everything because he's a goofy golden doodle. And all of a sudden, this cat like springs into action and jumps on his back and like starts swatting at his tail. I was scared. Milo was scared. We were all like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then the cat jumped off and looked at us and started licking his paws like really calmly. And I almost rolled on the floor laughing. It was just so ridiculous. And so, I mean, I've got this little tiny jaguar living with me. And if you've got a cat, you totally get it because they can shift gears so quickly. They can go from playful to stoic to, you know, they're just hilarious creatures. And so if you've never seen a jaguar, what you can do is kind of look at your cat or look at your friend's cat or listen to this story about Oliver to really begin to understand this archetype in a personal way. You don't actually have to go to the jungle or to the zoo, although it is helpful to see these creatures in all of their glory. But we do have these miniature versions, some of us, that live with us. And so we can begin to understand a little bit about the spirit of Otorongo. And so one of the things that I wanted to share is that one of the ways we can use the jaguar spirit to open up to love is to understand that a jaguar or any big cat, a puma, I'm going to call them a puma now, a puma knows themselves. They know their power. They know their power. You know, if you see a pride of lions or lionesses or another, I don't know what a group of pumas is called, maybe another pride. I don't know. I'll have to Google that for us. There isn't this energy of who's the alpha and who's the omega. You know, clearly there's a leader of the pride, and this lion usually takes that spot. But all the other members of the pride have this mutual respect for one another. That's different than, say, if you look at a pack of wolves and how they interact with one another. A pack of wolves, there's always a wolf somewhere in the pack who is deemed, for whatever reason, the weakest, the omega. In some wolf packs, we even kick out the weakest members of the pack or the members of the pack that don't follow the cultural norms in the pack. And lions aren't like that. Lions have this regal nature, and so do pumas, of being able to look at another powerful being and saying, right on, you keep rocking it, girl, you're awesome, without it interrupting their own sense of self. That's important to think about. Pumas, jaguars, lions can be in partnership, can be in family, can be in community with really powerful beings, and it doesn't shake their sense of self. So they're in what we call right relationship with their own power. A healthy puma is in right relationship with their own power. So much so that they don't have to demonstrate it. They don't have to tell you how tough they are, or who they studied with, or how many degrees they have, or how much they can lift at the gym, or how many marathons they've run. They don't have to display their power because they are so confident in it, and they wear it as comfortably as they wear their skin. So this idea of being comfortable in your power, it's relaxed. It's different than how many of us humans think about power. We often think of power over another. So there's weak and then there's powerful, and then we're caught in this kind of bully victim dichotomy. But in the world of the puma, it's so much different because they have a personal power that we've talked about in other podcasts. This idea of personal power that they know they can handle anything that's going to come their way. And if there was a problem right now, they would solve it. Pumas hunt, jaguars hunt by their stealth. You know, a lion might come at you and stare you straight down. But a puma is going to operate differently. They're most active in the nighttime and the twilight times. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the puma will walk around behind you, behind its prey, and then pause. And their prey might have a sense of something, and then because there's nothing happening, settle down a little bit, let down their guard. And before the prey can realize it, the puma jumps out, snaps the neck, and it's over. It's quick. It's fierce. It's primal. They don't, they're not ones to play with their food. They're not ones to do the things like killer whales do. Well, you'll see this poor seal kind of flying in the air as it's dying. It's terrible to watch, but not the puma. The puma is just going to go and done. Lights out. And so this idea that the puma understands their power to do that, that they don't have to do that. They don't have to go around killing things unless they're hungry, unless they need to. And that's it. And that's a healthy puma. Now, a puma that has been starved, or a human being that has been starved for that matter, think about this metaphorically. A puma that has been starved or kept in captivity for a long time without food, much like a wolf, if they're kept in captivity without food, any large predator, really. So you take a puma, put it in a cage where it's not allowed to be wild. It's not allowed to hunt. It's not allowed to, and it's hungry. It's been dreaming about eating food or being free or speaking their mind or making love or whatever it is that this has been yearning and building in this captivity. Then when the puma gets out of the cage and it's starving, it will devour. It will devour and decimate other animals more than they need. It will consume more than they need because it is not a healthy puma. It is out of balance. It is an out of right relationship puma. Think about humans. We're very similar. When we are in a psychic, psychological, emotional, physical cage of some kind, you know, our beautiful house and our Stepford Wife neighborhood where we have to be and act and look a certain way, you know, that can be a version of a cage. If you're in a cubicle in a tie and you have to look and be and act a certain way, another version of a cage. So many versions in most of the cages that we experience, we put on ourselves because of our culture, history, and things like this. And so we don't pay attention to the instincts, needs, and yearnings of our soul. And this can cause in us a very similar starvation, except for it's a soul starvation. And then somehow, whether we get drunk or we're on vacation or something, but somehow we break out of this cage that we've been in for a moment. And we will overconsume and we'll try to fill this yearning by any means necessary. Doesn't matter how many feelings are hurt, how many, you know, dangerous activities we take on. We can, because we're out of balance with our yearnings, our instincts, then we have this tendency to get super greedy and not thoughtful about how we move through life. And so taking a look at the healthy jaguar archetype is critical. Because when we can start to own the fact that we actually have the ability to solve problems when we have them. Right now, sitting here in my little wee studio, I have no problem. My electricity's working, the lights are working, you know, the recording is happening, I'm healthy, life is good. You know, maybe I could use a drink of water, but it's like the only problem I have right now, and it's about this big in the grand scheme of things. If, for instance, the house caught on fire, I trust in my ability to open that window that's over there and get to safety. And that's it. So trusting, learning to trust in our abilities is one of the things that the jaguar can teach us because they are so comfortable in their power and they know it. They own that part of them. They have reclaimed that or claimed that part of them and not let it go. That they can operate in a relaxed fashion in the world, knowing that they're safe, knowing that they're capable. And this creates a sense of groundedness in the Jaguar. And when we learn to realize and remember that we are actually safe in this moment, right here, we're safe, we have enough, and we have capacity to handle problems, to solve problems, and to handle things as they arise. When we come into right relationship with that, the great gift is that we can become more grounded and we have this reclamation of self-acceptance. I'm like, yeah, this is who we are. All is well. And this begins to open our heart to love. But it starts here in the sense of self. A lot of people say you have to love yourself before you love another person. And to a degree, I agree with that to a degree. Because what I think it's more than, because sometimes we learn to love ourselves through loving others and through being loved by others. That teaches us an awful lot, being loved by our community and our intimate relationships and our families. So what I like to think of instead of love yourself so you can love someone else is this nuanced element of when we come into acceptance of who we are. You know, it's not like dreamy-eyed, doe-eyed love, but it's an acceptance. Like, yeah, here I am, my heart, my soul, my dreams, my fears. This is me. You can almost feel that heart chakra, that energy center in the chest opening a bit to life, to love, to all the energy that's out there. So this is the first step to becoming open to receiving the good things from the universe, is self-acceptance. Okay. Now the second lesson besides self-acceptance that the Jaguar can teach us is that Jaguars, when they're comfortable, then, you know, they, I love watching like Wild Kingdom and the Blue Planet and all these wonderful things that you can watch. Wild Kingdom is probably from the 70s. I just dated myself a little bit, but you know what I'm talking about. National Geographic, all of these shows. And so watching, you know, Pride of Lions or these pumas interact with one another, one of the things that I find so fascinating when I watch this is this idea that they could give a shit. They always kind of, when they're really relaxed and laying in the sun, you know, and their tail's just going, their skin, you can almost feel the heaviness of the skin because there's not tension in their body. They're relaxed, they're licking their paws, they're rubbing their heads against each other, and they could give a shit. Like they have zero to give, right? And part of this for me, is the element of they're not attached to how things should be or need to be. They have this beautiful quality of non-attachment. And they allow, because of this, they allow life to just be life. It's something that the animal kingdom understands so beautifully that humans wrestle with because we have the prefrontal cortex that mixes us all up and the amygdala in our brain. So our brain chemistry gets super twisted up in this idea that we need to hold on to things, cling to things in order to be safe, and that we need to control things in order to be safe. And it's actually the opposite. When we try to control and we're fighting the natural elements. If you look outside at the weather, it's uncontrollable. If you look at Mother Nature, she's uncontrollable. Like, you know, we can try to put our little cute gardens in a nice little row, but then in a couple of days, all these wild weeds and vines and bugs and things are going to come into that garden because that's the nature of Earth. She is wild and she does what she needs to do to get it done and to keep things in balance. That's the Earth's beauty. Now, Jaguars are very similar. They get so dropped in because they're comfortable in who they are. They get so dropped into this present moment that they're not attached to the future outcomes. You know, they get food, great. They don't have food that day, okay. they'll get food tomorrow. You know, one of the cubs got lost. Okay, we got all the cubs here. Great. There's this element of very deep non-attachment. And so the lesson that we can learn from this jaguar archetype is this idea that we do not have to hold on to, own, possess, control anything else in life, and certainly not another. That those words have no place in love. Love is an energy in the world that we can open ourselves up to. It's a creative force. It's an intoxicating feeling when we experience it with another person. And it brings us into a space of intimacy with all of life. For me, I like to think of love as a way of being. It's a way of being in the world. Like, I am love. I'm not in love. I don't have love. I'd love to be in love, and I would love to have love, a partner in my life right now. So if you know anybody, give me a call. Just kidding. But you can be love, and you can be loving in the world. And that doesn't require a partner or anything. This is a detachment from all of the shoulds, all of the definitions of what is love. And actually, you know, we can't open up to love with such a tight grip, but when we loosen our grip, there's so much space for love to flow in and out of our lives, in and out of our energy field, and in and out. And humans have gotten so uncomfortable with this because we don't like things to end. When we have a moment of joy or love, of course, we want it to last forever. And when we get really twisted up, we think it should last forever. And my friends, nothing, I'm looking out the window again because I'm watching nature, and nothing lasts forever. Not even a relationship that's deeply loving. Maybe we can get into the cosmic elements of maybe that doesn't exist, but maybe love does last forever because it's an eternal energy. I'll have to make another podcast about that. But when we try to cling to things because we don't want it to die, we don't want it to go, then we're actually starting to scrape away at the quality of love that we're letting into our lives, and the quality of love that we're putting into the world, and the quality of love that we are. The attachment, the needing, and the controlling starts to erode our loving experiences of life. And so I like to think of it. I mean, I think I have one of my mentors say, like, holding a baby bird in your hand, like, hold it that softly, this idea of loving energy, hold it with an open hand so that it's free. There's an element of this freedom. And so, you know, you've never seen, going back to the jaguar archetype, you've never seen a jaguar, you know, follow another jaguar around begging, love me, please, I made you a cake, look how good I am, look at all my good qualities. You know, jaguars don't do that. If you look into the bird species, they do that. They peacock around, the men will be like, baby, I'm the best, look at my tail feathers, you know. The jaguar is kind of like, this is me. You like, you don't like, you let me know. And it's just such a beautiful quality to me of the self-confidence, of this freedom, of this non-attachment. And so the second lesson that we can learn from the jaguar is this idea of being so comfortable in your own skin that you're not attached to what the future brings. You can let go of controlling the future and allow the present moment to reveal itself intimately. Ooh, I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. The second lesson that we can learn from the jaguar is to be so comfortable in ourselves that we can let go of trying to control the future and open ourselves up to the deep intimacy of the present moment. I think many of us have probably had that experience when you fall in love And there is this depth of presence that can occur in some of those moments, whether it's just a gaze across a room and everyone else in the room falls away and the present moment like explodes into this timeless, infinite space. Sometimes it's while you're making love and there's just this explosion of the present moment, so deep and huge. This is exactly what I'm talking about, of releasing control, releasing attachment to how the future needs to be so that you can deeply immerse yourself into the present. And this is how we can use the Jaguar archetype to open up our hearts, open up ourselves to love, to life. The third thing that I want to talk about with the Jaguar archetype is that they understand mystery, that there's a mystery in the world. They are, you know, legendarily, is that a word? Legendarily, maybe. They are historically, you know, a representation of the mysterious, of the magic, of the in-between worlds of dawn and twilight, because these creatures can see in the dark. You know, they have these big eyes that take in light when humans can't see it. So they can see so adeptly in the dark. Their whiskers and senses of their skin and all that fur can pick up on vibrations and give them a knowing, a kinetic awareness of where things are in space and time. Their soft paws can pick up on vibrations. They are these sensual, sensory beings that have always represented a little bit of mystery, a little bit of excitement. And because of this, the Jaguar is often symbolic of walking between the worlds. In Peru, there's a beautiful legend of the Rainbow Jaguar, and I'm going to share that with you now. It's the legend of Chocachinchay. Let me find the beginning of this story. It's one of my favorites. Oh, here it is. So this is an example of how historically and in legends, the jaguar represents the mysterious because they can walk between the worlds. So this is the legend of Chocachinchay. Legend says that when we die, that our bodies are laid gently back into the earth, where Pachamama, where the Mother Earth wraps her arms of gravity around us and just pulls us back home, pulls our bones, all the carbon, all the elements back home. And Mother Nature holds our physical body and says, welcome home, little one. Welcome home. Welcome home, sweet one. And legend says that when we die, all of the wisdom and learning that we've gathered through our lifetime flies off in our last exhale to the high white-capped mountains, which is why many people on vision quest or searching for answers find themselves in the mountains among the snow, because they're listening for the wisdom of the ancestors, because that's where it lives. So when we die, all of our wisdom and learning go off to the snow-capped mountains and can be whispered in the wind and in between the trees at treeline. And legend says that when we die, our spirit, our soul, is met by a great guardian. And her name is Chocachinchay, the Rainbow Jaguar. And Rainbow Jaguar comes out of the light with her big paws and big furry head and big ears. And she puts you on her back and jumps around the world one more time so that you can say, bye, bye, thank you, beautiful. And then she hunkers down on her great big rainbow haunches and leaps across the rainbow bridge into the light. And legend says that when Chocachinchay comes for your soul, that your heart should be as light as a feather so that the journey is sweet. And if your heart carries heaviness, then Choka Chinchai will gobble you up, jump across the bridge, and shit you out on the other side. I didn't know the end. I didn't know about the second part of that ending until much later in my journey through shaman land, but I love it. So the journey of Choka Chinchai is just one of so many legends of the mystery that these big cats can hold in our minds archetypically. And so there's an element for us when we're thinking about opening up to love and opening up to the energy of love and of life and all this, that we have to sort of dance with the mystery, the knowing that there is something bigger, something mysterious going on here, whether we can, you know, pin it down through science or not. There are some things in the world, some of the best things in the world are unknowable. They're unmeasurable. Like, what is love? It's hard to measure that. We can't get our figures and facts around that. But that mystery makes life worth living. It's the mysterious things of love and loyalty and familial connection and instinct and intuition, these things that we cannot measure, that make life worth living. And so right now on the planet, we are beginning to value more the instinctual world, the unmeasurable world. Historically, we've only valued that which we can measure and have negated or compartmentalized away as useless this instinctual, intuitional part of our lives. And it's coming back because we need it now. It's key to all of our survival, of our soul, vitality. Intuition and instinct are vital. And being able to come to terms with, yes, there are things that are knowable and there are things that are unknowable and all of them mixing together to make life. There is a surrender in there. And there's also an assertiveness in there. And it's a weaving together of surrender and assertiveness that kind of are creating this rich experience of life, of owning the mystery, surrendering to that unknowable mystery. And then also having this other side of us that can be quite assertive with what we do know and what we do care about and our passions. And so if you can imagine this idea of surrender and assertiveness in this pull of back and forth and that mystery interacting with our reality. And it's this deep and wise understanding that Jaguars exemplify that really, for me, is the thing that cracks open our hearts to big, fat love, the big, fat, juicy, like sink your teeth into it kind of love, because we're open to the weird things and synchronicities and a little bit of magic that the universe tosses our way. We're open to that and can appreciate and respect that just as much as when we make a plan and achieve a goal. And so the combination of these two energies is critical. This ability to walk between the worlds and hold the mystery as relevant, to hold the surrender as powerful. That really turns our lights on when it comes to loving another and loving yourself and being in love with life. And so the Jaguar has so many lessons for us, so many more than I can even talk about today. I could talk about the Jaguar forever, and I do in Dharma School. So if you want to hear more stories about this, come on, join us for Earthkeeper. We have another Earthkeeper coming up in the spring and in the fall, and this is when we run the cycles of our school for human development. So when we get down to it, the Jaguar has so much to offer us. And if we can begin to move through our world, like the Puma moves through their world, with this sense of knowing and accepting how powerful they are and relaxing in that. If we can move through our world not only accepting this power, but also letting go of having to control the future, of getting deeply present in the, or deeply intimate with the present moment, then we are wide, wide open for receiving the wonderful energies that are on the planet in terms of love and the love of another. And then finally, you know, when we can accept that there is power in surrender and dance between the worlds of surrender and assertiveness, and then we have really cracked the code for what it's like to be love in the world. That's my greatest wish for all of us, is that we can begin to come into right relationship with this energy of love, with this higher, more elevated version of thinking about love. That it's not just intimate love of, you know, until death do us part. That is an element, a fragment, a splinter of what love can be. But there is also so much more than that. And all of those elements are so important. All of the elements are so important. So for me, love is one of the greatest journeys that we can go on. And I think that when we take on, when we're called to going on a spiritual journey, like anyone listening to this podcast is, when you're called to going on a spiritual journey, I think the calling is to begin to fall in love. It's the learning of how to fall in love, to fall into the energy of love and practice existing there over and over and over again and every day. It's the practice of love. And so these are some practices of love offered by the wonderful, gorgeous archetype of the Jaguar. So thanks for tuning in. I love my time with all of you, and I really appreciate when you listen to these podcasts. It just means so much to me, and I love hearing your comments and your feedback on them. So please take a minute and send me an email or send us a note on the website, or even jot down something in the comments if you're on YouTube, because that stuff just means so much to me and it inspires me. And if you find value in these podcasts, you know, please share them. There are so many people in the world right now that don't have a place to talk about this, the mystery of life, the joy of life, the pain of life. And so, you know, if you can be that bright spot for them, if you can be that hand reaching out by sending a podcast, by sending an email, you know, be that person. So thank you again for joining me. It's always a pleasure. This is Natalie Carlisle signing off from the Naughty Shaman podcast, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode, and for that, we are so grateful. Please reach out to us. Let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in our future episodes. Get in touch in the comments, because we love to hear from you. And you can reach us on social media.